Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Hold your hand here in Exodus in chapter 1. I want to read a little bit again of what Pastor Bill has already read. I trust you had a great holiday season, a season of holy days, an opportunity to magnify Christ right here at Fundamental Baptist Church through the Christmas program, Sunday school, cantata, candlelight service. No less than 6 people made professions of faith. So we give glory to God for that. That is all God. And that really is why we're here and really is what it's all about. And I happen to know of several people that were led to the Lord during the week, this last week. So you need to be encouraged. There are people out there wanting to get saved. There are people that you're rubbing shoulders with that would come to Christ if you just explain who Jesus is to them. They'd get born again. So have a little boldness. You know, be encouraged this morning. And use this time of year, and here we are, we're ending. I can't believe we're ending the year 2018. This is the last Sunday of 2018. And next year, next week, when we meet, it'll be a brand new year. I'm going to preach the big picture next Sunday morning. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. It's a mission, it's a message of vision, but I want to preach the big picture. If you're a member of Fundamental Baptist Church, you need to be here next Sunday morning. And we got a lot of people out of town this week. They'll be back. Some of our visitors will probably be away from us, but I'm expecting God just to greatly bless. And if we can all just kind of get going in the right direction, it'll be a great time. I had a good Christmas. I trust you did as well. I got some things that I wanted to get, and my wife got a foot massager that I purchased for her. I have big plans for that foot massager, and it works really well. And Debbie got me a 9mm Glock handgun. I hope she does not have big plans for that. It was a blessed Christmas in many ways, and I'm like you are, though. More than anything else, I'm thankful for family. Being able to get together, you know, just enjoy one another's presence and not presence, but presence, and enjoy our loved ones and laugh and cry and have to clean up the house after they're gone and that kind of thing. But it was a good time, though. I very much enjoyed it. Exodus in chapter 1. I want to preach on the Passover lamb this morning on purpose, because tonight we're celebrating the Lord's table. And Jesus gathered his men together, and they were observing the Passover when he instituted the Lord's table. That's tonight. I encourage you to come. This is the precursor to that. This is the Passover, where the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were instructed in the land of Egypt to prepare, because God had sent a deliverer. His name is Moses. And he was going to deliver his people from 400 years of slavery. God had heard the cries of his children. Before it was all said and done, it was 430 years of chains. And the Passover lamb that I'm going to preach this morning, in case I don't get too deep and I don't make it clear enough, I want you to understand the Passover lamb is none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that delivers us from the chains of sin and debauchery and wickedness and evil in this world. Chains that are forged in this life by our own sin. We are delivered from that sin that would take us to hell. We can be delivered from that sin because of the Passover lamb. And his name is Jesus. And even in the land of Egypt, it was blood that was spilled. The picture. One day when Jesus would come, John the Baptist proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So make no mistake about it, that Passover lamb is that Jesus, the Savior, that we magnify this morning. That very Son of God that we celebrate concerning the incarnation during the Christmas season. The Passover lamb is Jesus, our Savior. Let's read again. I'll not read the beginning of that passage, but Let's pick up with verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. God blesses his people even when they're in a foreign land. If we strive and we're pilgrims in this world in which we live right now, and I'm not, you know what? There are fewer and fewer standing for God, and I'm not okay with that, but I understand this. We have Jesus, we have enough. And God will bless his people that obey him. God blesses obedience. He blesses righteousness. He always has. And God was blessing the people, the sons of Joseph. Joseph and Jacob had died, and Joseph had died. And now there's a new Pharaoh in Egypt, and he'd forgotten all that Joseph had done for the nation Israel, for the nation Egypt. And so and God's people began to multiply, and the Egyptians feared God's people, even though God's people were in chains. Let's read on. Verse 9 says, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Sometimes tough times are good for you and I. That's not my message this morning, but it occurs to me while I'm reading this, and the people of God were in chains, and they were slaves to the Egyptians, and they had hard taskmasters that ruled over them, and they built the treasure cities of Egypt on their back. On the back of the Hebrews. That's how those cities were built. But God blessed his people. And they kept on multiplying. And they kept on growing and knowing the good hand of God. Nevertheless, in that 400 years, there were tough times. And they cried out to God in heaven. And God heard their cries. Verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. Look over at chapter 11. Would you turn over to there? Chapter 11. So, several times in this chapter, in order to keep it straight, and the Lord said, I'll point that out to you. And Moses said, I'll point that out to you. God is going to give instructions to Moses to give to his people. Verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. And the plagues have already run their course. And upon Egypt, now they're to the 10th. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Not only will he let you go, he's going to open the gates wide open. And not only are the gates going to be open wide for you to leave and follow my bidding, but you'll take the treasures of Egypt with you. Again, God blessing his people. God, you know, to live here in this world to get rich is foolhardy. It's foolishness. To live here in this world just to get more, to hoard treasures, to just have pleasures. That is so shallow, and it is so wrong, and it is so short-sighted, because this world isn't all there is. And the Egyptian people, they were living for treasures, and the treasures went right out with the people of God. Verse 2 says, speak now unto the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And God gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And God put all that together for good. And we're not going to read the next chapter we'll read some of the next chapter, but not all of it, where all these things come to pass. In other words, when they left Egypt, before they left, they were slaves. When they left Egypt, they left under the high hand of God, the scripture says. The prophets say God bared his mighty arm and led the Hebrews out of Egypt. And they took with them the treasures of Egypt. And they left in a parade of victory, perhaps 2 million people. We know there were 600,000 fighting men. And you know, they had wives and they had children. And then there was the mixed multitude that followed along behind them. People that they'd picked up in the land of Egypt that said, man, I want to worship the Lord God Jehovah too. I know he's the one true God. And so they fell in line and they were led out of the land of Egypt where God bared his mighty arm. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in this morning, but God can deliver you from that trouble. If he so wills it, you cry out to him, and he may not want to deliver you today. He might want you to learn some more things. But if he does, when he bears his mighty arm, there's not a power on this earth that can stop him. Not even mighty Pharaoh with all of his chariots. Let's read on. Verse 4. And Moses said, verse 1, and the Lord said, verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. By the way, the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. No one is exempt from that. There is no escape but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can get born again. You'll never know death. Man, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Man, you come unto Christ, you get born a second time, you get born into the family of God. And by the way, that only happens by way of the blood. I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. God says, I'm sending one final plague. All of the firstborn are going to die, from the palace, from the richest to the poorest, even the animals. There's one escape, the Passover lamb. You and I deserve to go to hell. We are in chains of sin, deserving to go to hell. There's one escape. He is the Passover lamb. Let's read on. Verse 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Verse 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. That happens. It happens later on in this passage. A weeping and a wailing over the land of Egypt like this world has never known. Can you imagine in every household where the blood is not applied, there's death. Such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel, saved and unsaved. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Again, the way of man is a way of death. Religion alone is a frustrating list of externals. Religion is not what you need, and it's not what I need. We need a relationship with the very Son of God. I said this in Sunday school. Those outside the family of God, those outside even this church that don't know what's going on here, they think that what we have, they see how we dress, they see we carry a Bible, they see the kind of lives that we struggle to live and we strive to live for the glory of God, and they think as outsiders looking in that what we have is another religion. And nothing could be further from the truth. We have Jesus, and that's why we follow him. We love him because he first loved us. We don't have a religion of externals. That's not how it is where you kind of check the boxes. That's how you go up the plateau. That's not how it is. Then you get born into the family of God by the blood of Christ. You get born into the family of God and you're in. You're all the way in. You belong to God. And you love him because he loves you. And if you're smart, you grow in grace and then you do more for God. And you change some things in your life because you know it doesn't add up to what God desires for me or desires for you. So you change a few more things and you grow in grace. To anybody that's on the outside, they think it's those things that are the changes they see, the external changes, that's a religion we have. Understand again, it's not a religion. It's a relationship with the Son of God. Come on in, the water's fine. If you think I'm checking boxes, you woefully misunderstand. I do want to get more like Jesus. And when I'm given truth, I'm responsible for that truth. And I do make changes in my life by way of the Holy Spirit working in me. And the old man dies and the new man is renewed and I try to do more for God. Have I arrived? No. It's not a religion. It's a walk. Paul said it's a vocation. We need to understand that. The way of man is one way. The way of God is another. Look at chapter 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. God has always been about family. And the instruction is very simple. Every household, get yourself a lamb. This is the institution of the Passover. This is the institution of the Passover lamb. All that's happened in the Old Testament is a picture. It's for your benefit and for my benefit. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. He said, one day there's going to be a Passover lamb come. And he will be crucified. And he'll conquer death and he'll rise again on the third day. He'll be my son. He'll pay the penalty for sin. In the meantime, you're in chains of slavery. And you need to be redeemed from the land of Egypt. It's a beautiful picture. I will deliver you from that slavery. Those fetters, those chains will fall off. But it's going to take place because of the blood of the lamb. So every household, according to your families, you get a lamb. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. If you don't have enough money for a lamb, and this is going to be done that quick. I mean, the plague is coming. The death angel is coming. And there's death coming. And in the land of Goshen, if you don't have enough money to purchase a lamb, then you get with your neighbor. But here's the point. You get in that household. And here's the point this morning. You get your household saved. You get everybody in your family born again. Boy, make sure they're all under the blood because death is stalking us. The death angel will come. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts in chapter 16 while I'm thinking about it. Book of Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The Philippian jailer made sure that his entire household was born again. You got sons and daughters. You got sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. You got grandchildren. You have a responsibility as a patriarch of a family. Man, talk to everybody in your household. Talk to everybody in your family. Everybody in your tribe. Everybody. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them how to be born again. You do your part to bring them in. And that was the instruction to the Hebrews in the land of Goshen. Get you a lamb. And if you can't afford a lamb, you join with your neighbor. They'll accept you. They'll let you in. You get your whole household under that roof because blood has got to be shed. And unless that blood is applied, the death angel, that'll be applied. Let's read on. Go back to Exodus in chapter 12 again. Your lamb shall be without blemish, verse 5, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Without blemish, I would remind you that the Son of God did no sin. Jesus, the very Son of God that lived a perfect life here in this world, never committed a single sin. No blemish. Pilate inspected him. Herod inspected him. Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. You know, no blemish. The perfect Lamb of God. There are so many parallels, I can't preach them this morning. When Jesus was crucified, it was the hour of the evening sacrifice. God's timing was always exact and always is exact. In Exodus in chapter 12 again, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Time of the evening sacrifice. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, because it's not going to have any time for it to rise, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. It's got to be quick. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. You know why? There's only one Calvary. Jesus offered himself, the writer of Hebrews said, one time, once. And then he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There never has to be another blood atonement. There never has to be another crucifixion. The blood of God did the job. It only took one time. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You don't wait. This is something that has to be dealt with immediately. If you're here this morning, you're not born again, you're listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not saved, I invite you to come to Christ. He is the only Savior. And if you'll repent of your sin from your heart and you'll ask Jesus into your life and come in, forgive you of your sin, invite him into your life and into your heart, man, you'll be born into the family of God. Jesus, what he did at the cross, the blood that was shed at Calvary, it is enough. It is enough. It'll wash away all your sin. It was God that was crucified, the Son of God that was crucified and rose again on the third day. And then he ascended on up into heaven. And then the church was born. And the message, the Great Commission was given to the church, preach the gospel. Tell everybody how to be born again. Tell everybody how to be saved so that others will have opportunity to come to Christ as well. The work of the Lamb. Luke chapter 23 and verses 44 through 46. We'll not turn there, but it speaks of the crucifixion. Verse 8, let me read again in chapter 12. They shall eat the flesh in that night, and roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. You realize what Jesus said when he said on the cross his last words? It is finished. Not his life. God's plan of redemption. I am happy to tell you I'm a gospel preacher. I love preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. I'm so thankful that he died in my place and in your place, and he died for the sins of the world. I'm not selling anything. I get to stand up and proclaim eternal truth. There's a God in heaven that loves sinners. We failed him miserably, and he sent his only begotten Son. And his Son came and took our place and suffered the death we should have suffered and rose again on the third day. And he's the living Savior. You know what he says? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are laden, heavy laden, all ye that are burdened down. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light. My way is easy. You come to me and you'll know peace. And you'll one day live with God forever. I visited with Mom last night. And she's getting really close. She has good days and bad days and good partial days and bad partial days. And we talked just a little bit last night and she told me she loved me. She called me by name. Boy, I wish Bud would have heard that. I am And I can't help but, and even when I was there and we were talking, she's going to open her eyes in heaven here real soon. Glory to God. You know why? Because of Jesus. Because of the Passover lamb. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, little g gods, all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am. I am that I am. The all-sufficient God. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where they get the terminology Passover, the Jews. Jesus is that Passover lamb. When I see the blood, there's hymns written like that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The only hope you have of heaven is that there's blood there. The blood of Jesus. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And then he goes on and talks about the convocation and the assembly and the Passover week and how it's all to be done. Skip on down to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, that's a bush, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintels and the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Both sides of the door and above the door, picturing the cross. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Boy, there's a lot to preach here, the whole rest of the chapter. And I'm way past my radio time here this morning. But the people of Egypt, when this plague finally hit, the death angel came through, and there was crying throughout the land of Egypt, from the palace to the poorest person, as the firstborn that were not under the blood, under the safety of the blood, as they were killed. Pharaoh finally said, get out. Take your people and go. Take the riches, take whatever you want, just leave. And you know the story and how this story ends. And Pharaoh didn't truly repent himself of what he had done. But the picture is this, as we go into tonight's service with the Lord's table, we will not crucify Christ anew and afresh, but we will remember the Passover lamb and the great price that was paid for our sins. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, you might be fooling your parents, fooling other people around you, but you're not under the blood. And what matters is not what people around you see, but what God sees. If you're not born again, you're not under the blood. I invite you to Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.